Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
KYW Original Podcasts.
It's just a good conversation with somebody that you didn't know you were interested in. I'm Matt Leon, and this is One-on-One.
The funnier ones we get are sometimes we show up very highly on Google for various players, so we'll get like hate mail for Chris Collinsworth, or we'll get hate mail for Troy Aikman. We were the number one result for NFL referees. For a while, we were publishing like this week's hate mail to NFL referees, because people were thinking that they were emailing the person directly.
And our guest this week is Sean Foreman, the president of Sports Reference, and he's actually created BaseballReference.com, a website that I have spent an obscene amount of time on. Lives in Mount Airy. Thanks so much for coming by.
Thank you for having me.
So you're now at the top of this digital enterprise of statistics that is, I don't know anyone that has any kind of even a passing interest in sports who hasn't gone. What's a day like for you? Like an average day, what are you doing?
Nowadays we have 10 full-time employees aside from myself, so I spend more time probably talking to them and working with them and deciding, you know, what things they're going to do than stuff myself. But, you know, just yesterday we were working on a tool for tracking NBA transactions more carefully and making sure we're not missing any. So I did a little bit of that. We're also changing over our web servers to a new setup, so doing some of that. So it's a wide variety of things day in, day out that I get to do each day.
So how does this all start? Does this start as a hobby?
Yeah, it was really just for fun. I was a graduate student in mathematics at the University of Iowa, and I had always been very, very, very interested in fantasy baseball. This was back in the late 90s, so I was the guy at the fantasy draft who had the giant spreadsheet, you know, that he had printed out and was marking things off and stuff. And so I got very interested in trying to find the best prospects in minor league baseball, and so I created a website called the Iowa Farm Report that went through and tried to rank players, and I really enjoyed that. And I thought, you know, I have this giant baseball encyclopedia, and this would be a lot better as a website because I could go to Joe DiMaggio's page, then I could click on the, you know, 45 Yankees and go to that team page and see who his teammates were, see who the league leaders were that year. And so in 2000, while I should have been doing my PhD dissertation, I was creating the basic site instead. And really, the site's just kind of grown gradually over that time. And so I was a professor at St. Joe's for 6 years. And after 6 years, I quit. I got tenure, quit my job, and I started doing the site full time then.
We all know how special tenure is. What is it? What are the people around you saying when you get tenure and you're like, you know what? I'm going to do this.
Yeah, my wife's an academic as well, and so she's been incredibly supportive of this whole endeavor. And so she, you know, I was making a little bit of money doing it. It wasn't completely insane, and I probably could have started, you know, probably could have quit a few years earlier, but I thought if I leave and then want to come back, there's no way I'm going to get tenure. So I kind of stuck it out for 6 years to get tenure, took a leave, and then ended up never going back. So my father-in-law had a couple times had not gotten tenure at a university that he had been at. So I'm sure he thought I was insane for leaving a tenured position. But it's, you know, it's definitely worked out over the last 14 years.
So when you start doing it, you have the idea that this be a great website. Where do you start? Like, what is the ground floor of baseballreference.com?
Well, when I first started the site, it was really just player pages and team pages, and so it was all just full season stats. We didn't update daily. We just updated at the end of the year, so it was like a new book coming out at the end of the year. And so we just kind of started with the player page and the team page and the league page. And built from there. So it was, really, I can't stress how much it's just been like every day, just adding something new, adding a new feature, working on a new way of doing things, and just building that up over those 20 years of effort. So really, it was starting with the players. And then one of the big changes that we had was there's a group in headed by a gentleman in Delaware, Dave Smith, who former professor at the University of Delaware, called RetroSheet. And their goal in life, that's an actual charitable organization. Their goal is to acquire every play-by-play account for every game in Major League history, and they make it freely available to anyone who wants to use it. So once we started incorporating some of those tools, we were able to have box scores for a vast majority of games in Major League history. Player game log, splits, all that kind of stuff. And that's kind of the secondary phase of what we had on the site.
So for someone who is relatively computer illiterate past what I need to do for work and surfing the web, you decide, you mentioned Joe DiMaggio.
Yeah.
I'm going to enter Joe DiMaggio stats. Like, do you have the framework that you just punch in the numbers manually? I'm talking at the beginning.
Right. Yeah, no, we did not have to do a lot of data entry. There was a book called Total Baseball that was one of these big encyclopedias that had a CD-ROM in it. And so another gentleman named Sean Lahman, which has created a lot of confusion over the years, but he took that CD-ROM and actually generated a database out of it. And so that had all the basic stats already in it. That's what we used to then build the initial pages. And so since then, we've started working with the creators of Total Baseball, Pete Palmer, Gary Gillette, and actually use their data, pay them for their data instead. But initially, it was just using this publicly available database to build the stats. And so we would have to add things like maybe I filled in all the MVP awards, in history, or things, managers maybe, things like that. But generally, the initial player stats were already available publicly.
When you first start with this, how much time do you think you're dedicating to it?
There were a lot of nights and weekends where I was, my wife has asked me why I'm not coming to bed, and it's like 11:30 at night, and I'm, I got to get this feature done or something like that. So it was a lot of nights and weekends. And, the nice thing was, since we were updating only at the end of the year, there really wasn't any pressure to, like, add new stuff throughout the, throughout the school year when I was teaching, so I could kind of wait for the summer to add new stuff. When I started doing it full-time, obviously, the amount of time I was able to spend went up because I was doing it because I was working. It was my job. But I probably was able to cut back a lot on nights and weekends. But there are still times where, I get an idea for something. We're trying to think about how we can make our mobile site a little more user-friendly in terms of, like, scrolling, because we have big tables of stats. And so sometimes I'll get, working on that, and I'll look up, and it's like 1 a.m. in the morning because I've just got to try this next idea to see if it'll work. And so it's always – I love doing it, and I'm fortunate that I get to do it for my job.
When was the moment that you first realized that this was going to be a thing as far as public acceptance, love of it, use of it? Is there a moment burned in your memory?
There's a couple. So when I started it, I kind of thought, it'd be a fun thing to have. It'd be something I'd do for fun, but I was going to be a college professor. There was somebody I was working with thought, this is going to be a huge deal. This is real. And I kind of pushed him off. Within about a year or so, we got a mention in Sports Illustrated that actually we were on like an old hosted server with a bunch of other people, and so we didn't have a lot of resources on the web server. And it actually took the web server down. Like, they shut us down like after this article appeared in Sports Illustrated because we were getting so much traffic. And so Yeah, when that happened, I decided to move it over to a more dedicated server, so we had more resources. We were actually down, I think, for maybe a 3 weeks or a month or something like that. So that was a big deal. And just kind of hearing people, we did a redesign a couple of years, three, 4 years ago, and first day of spring training, we rolled it out like the day before spring training game started. First day of spring training games, we're watching the game on our TV at lunch, and Keith Hernandez is just killing us for the redesign. And like, I can't find anything, and I can't, you know, what are they thinking? Why are they doing this? What I found out later is he was working on a book about, you know, he was working on his book at that time. And so it was really he had been doing a lot of work and now he couldn't find stuff. And I was able to talk to him later and he's a huge fan of the site. And so it's, when you hear people mentioning it in the industry, you realize that it's valuable and people are using it and it's important to their work and to their lives.
How much time do you spend just perusing the site? I don't mean quality control. Right. I just mean for fun.
I'm preparing for my fantasy draft, so I'm on the site looking up players who maybe I don't know very well, so I'm on the site very regularly. We now have 7 sites, so I've become a pretty big Sixers fan over the last 4 to 5 years. So there were lots of nights when Joel Embiid was just getting started where we'd look up, who's the last rookie to have done, what he did in their first 30 games or something like that. So, yeah, we're on the site all the time, and that probably helps the quality in that all of us are big sports fans, and so a lot of what we do is just, oh hey, it would be really cool if I could if I could see what formation, so we're doing soccer now, what formation the team has used each match this season, and so we add that into a table so we can see that, or I can see who's passed to which player the most and things like that. So a lot of what we have on the site is just stuff that questions we've had and we've wanted to answer. And we get dozens and dozens of emails a day from users, and we answer all of those. And so we try to compile any good ideas that we get from that as well. So a lot of what we do is just based on the questions we have or the questions users send us.
When you mentioned the emails, what's the breakdown between complaints, glowing, how much they love it, and ideas for what they'd like to see?
I would say it's probably 60-70% like corrections. We have a very exhaustive minor league site, but it doesn't have a lot of biographical information. So we get a lot of nephews and nieces, sons, grandsons sending us information about their relative who played minor league baseball in the 1950s, which probably they only care about, but we want to have it accurate. So we, we'll enter those things. We regularly get very nice emails from people who say they've enjoyed, this or that on the site or found something that they didn't think they'd be able to find. We get our share of complaints. It's a lot of it's around, advertising on the site, maybe not making the site harder to use, stuff like that. But it's the funnier ones we get are sometimes we show up very highly on Google for various players. So we'll get like hate mail for Chris Collinsworth, or we'll get hate mail for Troy Aikman. For a while, we were the number one result for NFL referees. And so we were publishing like this week's hate mail to NFL referees because it was people were thinking that they were emailing the person directly. So, it's a wide variety of stuff that we get.
Now, you mentioned 7 sites. So it starts with baseball. How does the tree grow from there?
Right. So baseball, we started baseball in February of 2000. December of 2000, a friend of mine, Doug Drennan, started Pro Football Reference, which is our NFL site. I believe in 2003 or 2004, Basketball Reference was started by a gentleman named Justin Kabatko. The three of us then formed a company in late 2007, and kind of grouped all came together as under a single entity. And then from there, like hockey in 2008, college sites in like 8 and 10, I think. And then our soccer site just launched 2 summers ago, so in 2018.
Are there other ideas or what can we expect in the next couple of years?
I think for us, we generally think that team sites do better. Team sports sites do better than individual sports, just because people like to argue about who should my team trade for. You know, we need to get this bum out of the bullpen. We need to reuse this guy instead. I think right now we have no plans to add any additional sites. The soccer world is so massive and so huge. I mean, there are more clubs playing professional soccer than there are people who have ever played Major League Baseball in history. And so it's a huge world. So right now that's kind of the biggest thing we're working on. Beyond that, we're adding a new section to our site. It's called StatHead, which is going to be a really place where it's a subscription feature where you can get very in-depth information about what's happened and things like, you know, we'll have every NBA play from 1995 on that's searchable through that. So you can find all the times, you know, that there was an alley-oop between Chris Paul and DeAndre Jordan and, you know, just really esoteric stuff like that that people want to know, or you might be researching for an article or a game or something like that.
Has all of these sites you mentioned became a Sixers fan 4 or 5 years ago, have they allowed you to kind of mine fan things that maybe you didn't know you were interested in, stuff like that? Or built up an interest that maybe 10 years ago it was minimal at best?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was not at all a soccer fan. 8 years ago, I had zero interest in club soccer. I maybe watched the World Cup, you know, and maybe one or two matches when it was on. Like 8 years ago, I said, "Well, we should start a soccer site." So I just started watching it, and now I'm a pretty big European soccer fan and watch a lot of matches on a regular basis. So that's something that, you know, I had no knowledge of before that I've become much more aware of. I'll admit sometimes you get a little bit jaded about some of the things. Derek Jeter just got inducted into the Hall of Fame, and he's a great player. Hall of Famer all the way, but his defense was terrible. and so you see him getting gold gloves, and you just kind of shake your head and like, you know, what are we doing here and stuff. There are things like that, you know, we probably look at the game a little bit differently than I did as a fan, you know, growing up.
Without giving away any state secrets or anything, can you give us some context of how far the reach of the sports reference sites has gotten?
So last year, we did over a billion page views, and probably 20 million people were on the site over the course of the year. We're used all over the world. Our basketball site is probably the number two or three site in Australia for basketball. Baseball, you know, we reach the Dominican Republic and Japan. So the sites are, you know, continuing to grow, continuing to gain users. So it's, we're adding new staff this year. We really see our mission as answering whatever questions users have. So as long as people continue to have questions, we hope that they'll continue to look for us to answer them for them.
Has the growth always been comfortable for you, or have there been points when you start to feel like this is getting too big, it's getting away from me?
No, not really. I like to think that. I was a college professor, didn't have much of a business background. My parents were school teachers and worked at a hospital, and so there wasn't a lot of business background in our house. I like to think that the site has grown at a pace where I've been able to like grow my management skills and my understanding of how to manage the business and how to work with other people at a similar rate. So I've never wanted to take like venture capital and to like, you know, really goose the growth. So maybe we, you know, double in size each year for 5 years. I kind of view it as building something, you know, kind of strong and lasting and on a strong foundation. So that's really the approach that I've tried to take over time and that we're continuing to take.
Now, you guys used to have sponsors for player pages,
right?
And like any, I could sponsor Luis Aguayo's page if
right.
it was available. Do you have any stories? I would imagine you would get some wild requests for sponsorships or some really cool connections that are made.
So before when we first started the site, we did not have advertising. And so originally I started with kind of a NPR type model where just send us money if you like the site. And that worked for a while. And then I had the idea of, well, you know, like baseball cards, people could collect pages on the site and sponsor it, maybe put a message on there. And it was exclusive. So once you sponsored the page, it was your page. And we based it on basically how popular the player page was. There were several articles written about the sponsorships and stuff. I think Salon had one called the Hall of Love or something like that, just highlighting different sponsorships. Ones that I remember, there were a lot of them, just kind of very touching ones where people would like sponsor them in honor of their father who took them to a game, and maybe it was the pitcher who started the game that first game they went to. Remember one where a husband and wife sponsored a page because Brad Radke pitched the game that first date. They went to a Twins game and Brad Radke was a pitcher. So there were a lot of those. There were a fair number of often Red Sox fans or Yankees fans would want to sponsor the opposite team and put a derogatory comment on there. So we had a policy where we had to block a few of those and refund their money. But in general, people had a very positive view and wanted to support the site, and also, it was a nice thing where they could put a message on a player who was important to them.
About how many sponsors at peak? Do you remember a ballpark of how many pages?
Sponsored? I think we were probably doing. I want to say we had 1,000 maybe sponsors at peak. There were 15,000 ball players. Just going through the site, you realize just how many players we don't remember at all because maybe they played two seasons in 1926 through 28 or something like that. So those players generally weren't sponsored, but a lot of the current players were sponsored and had people paying to sponsor the pages.
So now is revenue all ad driven?
So it's primarily ad driven. We do have banner ads on the site. So I mentioned the Stathead feature. That's going to be a subscription feature. And so we would like to. I would like to move to more of a subscription model if possible. Maybe keep the definitely keep the basic site free, but some of the more advanced features perhaps charge a small monthly fee for those. Because I think it aligns us a little better with what our users want, and we're serving the user directly rather than being an ad supported model.
You mentioned that great Keith Hernandez story earlier. Do you have any other stories that come to mind when you think about players that referenced or found out who you were and started to talk to you about it?
I know Joey Votto credited us for helping him get out of a slump one time because he had been checking on he had been looking at our site and he saw even Ted Williams had a stretch where he had only 250 or something like that, and it kind of helped him keep in mind that he just needed to keep working and so I remember him name checking us during a press conference after a game. I've been invited to the Sixers practice facility a couple times. I've gotten to meet people at the Phillies, people with the Eagles. It's not something I expected to have happen when I first started the site. We are a statistics site, and I think there's often a perception that, well, we're going to be dull and boring and encyclopedic, but we try to do a few things kind of more interesting along those lines as well. For instance, there was a Deadspin for a while back was doing a bit where every month they would put Oda B. McDowell's water bills on their website. So if you go to Oda B. McDowell's page, we've actually compiled those into a table on his page so you can see those on the site. Derek Jeter was listed as the eighth greatest leader in the world, so we added that to his leaderboard section. We credit JT Snow with being the only player to ever save a toddler during a World Series game, we like to have a little small touches like that throughout the site that kind of show that we're interested in the game. We have a sense of humor and we want our audience to be entertained a little bit as well as informed.
Does when you get a compliment about those little things like that. Does that mean more than somebody that compliments the site?
Yeah, the whole site? No. I mean, the worst part about that is, you know, we put it on the site and it's like, I'm waiting for somebody to notice it and like mention it on Twitter or email us about it, because I really don't want to, like, I don't want to brag about it, because that wouldn't mean the same thing as if someone just noticed it. So we had one this past, so Marvin Miller was just inducted into the Hall of Fame. And so on his, we have a page for every Hall of Famer. So on his page, we actually, we were talking in the office and his page just had like his name, his birthday, you know, inducted in 2020. And somebody said, oh, we should put that he was 5-0 for a career record, because he won every lockout and strike that the league had. So we actually added a table with the year and whether it was a lockout or a strike, and then a W or an L next to that. And so somebody just noticed that, you know, last week that we had done that. So it's fun. It's more, much more fun. I'm always waiting, hoping that someone's going to notice it, so I don't have to sit on it for as long as I do otherwise. But yeah, we have a few other things planned along those lines as well.
Could you have imagined this? You know, you talk about it, you go to the Sixers facility, stuff like that. You know, when you're looking through that first baseball encyclopedia and thinking, this really should be a website.
No, definitely not. I mean, there was. Part of it was timing. I was in graduate school at the time when the internet was just taking off, so I actually had pretty good internet connectivity compared to most of the population. So, you know, that was a big part of it. I had more free time because I was still in school at that time. I've just been very fortunate every step of the way to be able to do what I've done, it's certainly not. I didn't set out to do this, and friend and I joke that if we'd started the site, he has a similar site to mine. We joke that if we'd done it 2 years earlier, like launched it in 1998, we'd be Mark Cuban right now. But I don't know if that's probably not the case. But I do feel lucky to just to be where we're at this point.
And what is your favorite part of your position in life now, as far as the? Because you guys kind of own a little corner of, I don't know if Americana is the right word, but you're really important to a lot of people. What's your favorite part of that?
I really enjoy the people I work with every day. We've got a really good group of people. I really think it's just, you know, I get to almost every day I get to come in and think about some new piece of something and how we're going to make it better and how we're going to improve it, or just some entirely new feature that we're going to do. And just kind of, you know, I like the challenge of being able to piece that together and figure that out and kind of unpeel it and figure out where the edges are so that we can open it up and add something to the site. And so that I feel lucky that I get to do, you know, something that changes like that every day and is interesting in that way. So yeah, that's, I would say, you know, that and being able to work with the people I work with are probably the two main things.
Sean Forman, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
That's it for this week's show. One-on-One is an original sports podcast from KYW News Radio. If you like this show and want to help us out, make sure you're subscribed so you don't miss an episode. And you can help more people find out about the podcast by finding the show on Apple Podcasts and leaving a rating and a review. You can follow the show on Twitter at OneOnOnePod, and you can follow me on Twitter at MattLeon1060. Want to thank Sean Forman for joining us this week. You can follow Sean Forman on Twitter at Sean_Forman. My name is Matt Leon. Come back next week for another good conversation with someone you should know more about.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.